Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Bruce Springsteen is your artist of the day because he's awesome. Keyword to cash, and those of you calling us racist, kiss off. Zebra 72881.
Oh, I love a song.
We will do Festivus Friday coming up in 1 hour. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Of course, Mr. Sterrett, you will get the first grievance of the week, as always.
I'm ramped up.
Love this story from the front page. It's not a topic, just found this interesting. Front page of the Wall Street Journal today. There was something odd about that front seat passenger in the old Saturn whizzing along New York's Long Island Expressway one day this month. A Suffolk County Highway Patrolman pulled it over. Take a closer look. Sure enough, the guy slumped in the seat wearing a T-shirt and a hoodie with sunglasses and a baseball cap pulled low. Had little to say. He was a dummy. Propped up to try to make it legal for the Saturn's driver, James Britt, to use a high occupancy vehicle lane, HOV lane, and beat the traffic. Mr. Britt is among what police say is an increasing number of drivers looking to sneak illegally into carpool lanes using mannequins, skeletons, blow-up sex dolls, and various other beings made of wood, plastic, or fabric to fool state troopers.
Does that really work? Because I feel like
not for Mr. Britt.
I feel like we hear that same story
every
from
year.
At least once a year, if not twice or three times a year. People get popped for that all the time, whether it's someone who's dead, like driving dead grandma in the HOV lane.
There's a picture of it.
That's clearly a dummy. Clearly a dummy.
Got to do better than that.
They always put a hat on him. Why?
Bald spot.
Do we need HOV lanes here in Kansas City?
No.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Commute's too short.
HOV lanes tend to cause more problems than they fix.
You know, they have them in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta is a hole, so I don't think we should take their lead on anything.
Okay.
You don't think the MARTA is smarta?
No, I lived in Atlanta for 367 days. It was the worst 367.
Wow, 1 year and 2 days.
Yes. It was the worst time of my life. Because that city is a dump.
Oh, we're going there next weekend.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't think Atlanta's a dump.
Really?
We're flying right in and flying right out.
Now, see, that's the way to do Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm flying in on Saturday, flying out on Sunday.
But you're leaving the airport?
Yeah, I'm going to a party.
Oh.
In Buckhead, though.
Okay.
Buckhead's nice.
Buckhead is nice.
Buckhead's like the Plaza.
Yeah.
Except bigger.
In and out. Did you hear about the...
Man, you're really down on Atlanta.
Yeah.
What other town do you think sucks?
No, I don't feel that strongly about any place other than Atlanta.
Were you robbed there or something?
No, I had to live there. Worse.
You know, sometimes you move somewhere and it just doesn't work out.
Apparently not.
Did you hear, and I'm not laughing because there's nothing funny about illicit drug use, but this story is funny as hell. The engineer with KPIX television who decided to repair an old hippie era synthesizer. Okay. Like, this is like an old engineer. Okay. The guy could probably take apart any computer and put it back together. It's a peculiar droning sound heard primarily in sci-fi television and counterculture music genres. Covered with multicolored buttons, blinking lights, and patched up cords, it looks to be out of an episode of Twilight Zone. It is a vintage instrument and a trip back to the past for one repairman. Broadcast operations manager Elliot Curtis told CBS San Francisco he recently volunteered to repair the custom analog music modular instrument for the music department at Cal State, right? The instrument reportedly fell out of favor after Cal State acquired it back in the 60s. And there it sat in a storage closet, Scott, for decades. That is until Mr. Curtis recently examined it and thought, I'm going to give it a whirl. During the process, he told CBS he noticed a crust or a crystalline residue stuck underneath one of the knobs. He sprayed a cleaning solvent on it, thought nothing of it, went to repairing the synthesizer, and about 45 minutes later, he began to feel a strange tingling sensation.
Wait a second.
Quoting here from Curtis.
He got high off the equipment?
It felt like I was tripping on LSD.
It was LSD, wasn't it?
Chemical testing identified the substance as LSD. Curtis's trip lasted for 9 hours.
Well, God bless him.
Here's where things get even more interesting. His wife was there when it happens, knows he's not a drug user. They both start talking, and they think he's now on LSD.
Well, he was.
They don't know if someone was hiding the stash back in the 60s in the synthesizer and forgot about it, or were they using it for creative purposes while they were tinkering with the thing.
They just had it out there.
The device
for easy access.
Since been cleaned and is back at Cal State for the music students to study. It's an accidental LSD trip. God bless him.
Is he okay?
I think it was the best 9 hours of his life.
Yeah, well, might have been. Might have been.
The best is his quote. It felt like I was tripping on LSD.
You were, sir.
And how would he know what that was like if he hadn't?
Well, they don't get into that.
Okay.
These old engineers, he's probably 70 years old. Let me look him up.
Have you ever done LSD?
No.
I don't even know what it is. What is it?
Acid.
Elliot Curtis, San Francisco engineer. I can't believe he told the story. I don't know that I would tell anybody.
It's not every day you get tripped into LSD.
I just love all these stories.
Yeah, that's not normally a drug you do on accident.
Nah.
It was a Buka Model 100. Yeah, no, it doesn't have his photo. I wanted to see what he looked like.
Did you hear who's leaving The Voice?
No, I haven't. Can't stay away from me. I can still hear you making that sound. Breaking me down, rolling on the ground.
Adam Levine is leaving The Voice after 16 seasons.
16 seasons?
Made the announcement today on the Today Show. He will be replaced by... who's replacing? Gwen Stefani.
I love her.
Gwen Stefani is going to replace him. Former coach Gwen Stefani will return to take over Levine's chair. Stefani is dating Blake Shelton, whom she met during her time on the show.
Okay, I found the LSD tripper. He's a younger guy. Look at him. I mean, not younger, but he's not 70.
Why would you think he was going to be 70?
I just thought he was like an old TV engineer that's been around forever.
A lot of those electronics engineers are up there.
Okay.
Listen to this. An anonymous LSD researcher, that sentence exists in one of these stories. An anonymous LSD researcher later confirmed that the drug can remain potent for decades if it is stored in a cool, dark place, and that it is possible to ingest it through the skin.
Wait, you just said in my ear, engineers are generally old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not old around here.
We, as an industry, are facing a real issue with the engineers all retiring and they're not being young guys like to take
Ken,
their place.
Ken Wolf's like, what, 45, 46?
Something of that, but that is...
Kirk Chestnut's 50.
That is abnormal.
Our engineer at WIBW, Elmer Gunderson, anyone listening who's passed through that town knows who that man is. I believe he was one of the longest serving employees, if not the longest serving employee in the history of that television station, and had to have been 80 when he retired. Had to have been.
Hang on. Alex in Overland Park. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
Well.
So just wanted to provide a little bit of additional context, perhaps, on this story.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big sense nut myself, and so I, you know, peruse and read about, you know, synthesizers online. I have some myself. And there's speculation about this particular synth that it might have been in use by King Kesey and his Merry Pranksters. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Nor is the rest of America.
Oh, sure, fair enough. Well, King Kesey, you know, wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, was a pretty big, you know, LSD head in his day. Tom Wolfe wrote a book called The Electric Acid Kool-Aid Test about these guys.
Okay.
So this particular synthesizer very well could have been in use by these guys who are obviously big LSD heads. And they have ended up being owned by Owsley, who was Grateful Dead's engineer, as well as a pretty big LSD cook himself.
Can you get high on LSD from touching it? I thought you had to put it on your tongue or something. Not to give kids any advice, but...
I'm a big synth guy. I don't know about LSD.
Stop calling it synth. Call it synthesizer. You're driving me nuts.
But, yeah, so anyway, I figured that might enrich the conversation a little bit. But, yeah, I love this story. I can't get enough of it.
All right.
I love it.
All right, man.
Listen to what his wife said. I think it's super wild. I think this whole situation is a nice chapter in the history of the counterculture. Can you imagine telling your wife, I think I'm accidentally tripping on LSD for 9 hours?
Sure, it was an accident.
I can't believe they're telling the
See,
story.
That's what you guys are propped up on, is that this was an accident. He saw this.
All he's got to do is,
he was like,
rubby finger on the stuffy stuffy.
Touch it, rub his eye, bam.
Yeah.
The thing was in a closet.
It hit my tongue.
No.
Oh, how did that happen?
No.
Oh, now I'm high. For 9 hours, damn it. Gosh darn it.
Imagine.
Shoot.
Imagine.
Now I'm high and I'm tripping balls.
Imagine,
dang it.
Imagine how long he would have been tripping if he'd, like, been trying.
Dang it.
You know? He'd have been tripping for, what, a day and a half if it was
stuff
on purpose?
And then I put it in my mouth.
I'm not going to be able to come to work today.
Why did I do that?
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
How high were they when they wrote this one? Jeez Louise. Story here from the Kansas City. Check that. The Epoch Times. Colorado has become the first state in the United States to limit co-payments for insulin.
Oh, you guys are going to love this story.
For diabetics with private insurance who rely on insulin to control their blood sugar, the move will alleviate their financial cost. Governor Jared Polis on May 22nd signed a bill into law that will cap what patients are required to pay out of pocket for insulin medication at $100, which will apply to those even with private insurance.
Yep.
Quoting here from the governor, we will declare that the days of insulin price gouging are over in the state of Colorado. With essentially no change in the product, insulin prices have inexplicably gone up 1,000%.
Isn't that weird?
In the last 25 years. We are fighting back against the skyrocketing price of insulin by putting a $100 cap on a one-month supply. Mm-hmm. The law takes effect, by the way, in January of next year.
Haven't you heard of people who have died rationing their insulin lately?
Yes, I have.
It's gotten so expensive, people are rationing it. You can't ration your insulin and maintain a quality, healthy life.
7.5 million Americans rely on insulin to manage their blood sugar.
Here is my question.
Which is 2% of the population.
By the way, this was sold in 1921, the exact same stuff for $1. So don't tell me it's $10,000. $1.
You'll get in a
fight. Here is my question. Everyone's always complaining about these awful, awful pharmaceutical companies, okay? Why is Colorado the first state to figure out that they're just going to say no? We're going to ban it. You cannot come into this state and say it's going to be $600 out of pocket or $800 out of pocket. We're capping it. Why doesn't every single state do that? If the federal government cannot figure out how to fix something that every single American agrees needs to be fixed, why don't the states take it over and say, no, you're not allowed to do business here at that price?
Are you asking that as a serious question?
Yes, I am asking that as a serious question.
I can give you one answer.
At the federal level, you're going to say it's lobbyists that are buying our senators and congresspeople, right?
What I'm going to say is this in one sound effect that I just found on YouTube. Money.
No.
Yes.
If Colorado can say no, the rest of the states can say no. So, you know, we hear every once in a while in the
news. Where are the rest of the states, Dana?
That's what I'm asking you. Remember Pharma Bro, who was like, I know your kid has cancer, but we're going to charge you $1.5 million for this drug. What if the states all just individually said, the hell you are? No, you're not. You're not doing that. We're capping it at $100. Screw you.
You know what? I am sick and tired of waiting for the broken federal government to do anything
for me.
Never
going to happen. Never going to happen.
And I need not remind you, and I've been very honest about this. Until recently, until they had a generic, I took Viagra. When I first started taking Viagra, it was $100 a bottle for 6 pills. Still outrageously expensive. But before they got a generic competition, it was $380 a bottle for 6 pills. Do you
I
need me to do the math?
Someone in the medical community to
That's
call $65 in.
$65 a pill.
And explain why someone has just now figured out that you just say no. As a state, you say no.
I'm all for Colorado.
So Colorado's done it. Where's the rest of us?
And Kansas, where are you? Missouri, where are you?
Bust it.
What are you hunting about
over
there?
If you go to statnews.com, there's an interesting article about insulin. And let me just read the headline. Everyone is at fault. With insulin prices skyrocketing, there is plenty of blame to go around. 15 years ago, a patient with diabetes might have paid $175 for a 20 milliliter vial of the long-acting insulin RU-500. $175, Scott. Today, it's $1,000. $487 for the same tiny vial. It is easy to cast blame on the drug makers. Just three pharmaceutical companies, all of them massive global enterprises, control the vast majority of the $27 billion global insulin market. But a thorough review of the drug's nearly 100-year history reveals a much more complicated story, one that makes it clear that drug makers, their generic counterparts, doctors, and increasingly the FDA itself all share blame for the broken insulin market. And then it goes into the ideas of fixing it, why everyone is at fault.
Why does Colorado stop at insulin? I mean, if you're going to fix the drug prices and everybody...
then cap all of them.
Everybody in America agrees that the drug prices are out of control. Why stop with insulin? Why not go further?
Is it because it's the most common skyrocketed priced drug in the state?
I would say hardly. With only 7.3 million people in America using insulin, which is roughly 2% of the population, no.
There is only one copycat version of insulin today. It's manufactured by Eli Lilly.
By copycat, do you mean generic?
Yes. There are other factors, too, that have deterred generic manufacturers that might have otherwise been interested.
Let's go to the phones. Rachel in Prairie Village. Rachel, hello.
Hey, Scott. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I'm lucky to be very well insured, but my sense of justice is disgusted when I watch. Everybody's on social media, and there's a lot of pay-it-forward groups and insulin rationing deaths because of inability to secure insulin is absolutely a reality. I think the disease bankrupts families, small children who have it. I mean, parents are, $6,000 to $9,000 out of pocket every single year to cover their kids. So I think if you were to ask me, the biggest issue in play is that when the drug was developed and discovered about 100 years ago, as Dana indicated, the initial scientists and doctors who discovered it did not patent the drug. And they didn't do it on the record because they said they wanted the life-saving medication to be available to everybody. And what happened was the drug manufacturers, as patents took on a life of their own and the whole 7-year patent exclusivity took on a life of its own, they latched on to a little bit of fine print that said as long as there was an incremental improvement to the patent, it could be extended. So every time Eli Lilly or Novo Nordisk, or I can't remember who the third big manufacturer is, they all have a tendency to improve their short-acting insulin or their long-acting insulin at about the same time.
Rachel,
so they get another 7-year market.
I just read this. What they're doing, Scott, they're not coming up with a whole new drug. They are making an just mind-blowing small change to the drug that's already out there. I mean, like, think of like one cell, okay?
Yes.
They're changing one tiny microscopic thing, then saying we want a new patent. This is a new product. And it's not.
Okay.
But they're doing that to keep extending it.
Our federal program and legislators and FDA allow it to happen.
That's why they're blaming the FDA.
And they absolutely should. There is a generic on the market. You can go to a very large big box retailer, I will not name, and acquire a vial of insulin for $25. And do you want to know how effective it is? Not very. No. It's very difficult to use. It's, if you think about taking a huge step back in terms of technology and science, that's what you get. And so you have parents with small children. Juvenile diabetes affects kids who are 6 months old. And the exact science of it is very difficult to monitor for children. And parents who can't afford drugs are using a substandard product because that's all they can actually get. And it affects their kids' vision, their children's ability to grow at the appropriate rate. I mean, the decisions that we put in front of parents right now is disgusting. And so I think what Colorado is doing is a fantastic idea. I think that it's also going to be, there'll be a lot of loopholes and ways that,
And there are downsides, Scott, to what Colorado is doing. Let's be clear.
What are they?
Well, let me read this, and then if you go to Tracy in Kansas City, I think she's going to tell you. The drug company's strategy for keeping generic competition at bay is filing patents, tons of them. Each of the major manufacturers has hundreds of unexpired patents related to their products, the device that deliver the drugs, and the methods for manufacturing them. Sanofi has been singled out in particular for repeatedly making small changes to its product to file for new patents. It has filed 74 of them on some version of one insulin drug alone.
Let's go to Tracy in Kansas City. Tracy, hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, yeah, I just had a question, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but if Colorado is doing this, what's to stop the insulin companies from saying, fine, then we just won't sell to people in Colorado?
I guess technically, and I'm not a pharmaceutical rep, and I'm not a doctor, I would imagine, but I do specialize a little bit in communications. I would imagine it would be the PR fallout that we can't get enough profit, so your lives are not worth it. And that would be awful.
It would be awful, but, you know, money talks. And
yeah, so does the media.
That's true.
So a friend of mine, Scott. Tracy, thank you for the call. A friend of mine who is a physician said, if you fix prices, the pharmaceutical companies will just stop making the product.
I don't believe that to be true.
They write, mandate that pharmacies and hospitals post their prices. Something that costs $5 at CVS may be $50 at Walgreens, and the consumer has no way to know. It is a broken system. And I'm all for that. Make everyone post. Like when you go to McDonald's, you can see how much that burger is. You go to Wendy's, you can see how much their burger is. Make everybody post it. Why is it so different in healthcare? If you go to buy a tire, Scott, you need a tire. You can go online right now. You can look at Costco. You can look at Goodyear. You can look at Michelin. Look at all the tires. You can compare them side by side. Maybe this one's better. Maybe this one's thicker. I don't know. You cannot do that with drugs or healthcare. Well, it drives me crazy.
But is this not like fixing the rent in New York City?
People haven't stopped living in New York City.
No, they have not. But people have argued that fixing the rent is unfair to the landlord. If people are willing to pay $200,000 to live in this apartment, why can't I sell it for $200,000?
A $200,000 apartment is not necessity for life. It's not necessity.
Housing is not necessity.
No, that's not what I said. I said a $200,000 800 square foot apartment is not a necessity. It's not. Insulin is a necessity.
Then where?
You're not going to die if you don't have a high rise on Fifth Avenue. You could die if you don't have your insulin.
Then what do you do? Why don't we cut to the chase? Why don't we just say where we're headed?
Because it's Friday and that just makes everybody mad.
We are headed for a single-payer system.
I disagree.
Let's quit screwing around and just get to it.
I disagree. I don't think that that's something that's going to happen.
Well, I do.
But I think if the federal government will not step in and stop the price gouging, the system that allowed Pharma Bro to take that cancer drug from $36
Where's Pharma Bro today, by the way?
Well, he's in prison, and thank God for it. I hope he rots there. There needs to be a system in place, proactive, not reactive.
Who gets to set the price?
Proactive, not reactive, to stop those types of things from
happening.
Who
gets to set the price?
I will.
No.
It should not be $1,476.
So the government gets to set the price.
When 15 years ago, it was $100.
I'm just asking. So the government gets to set the price. Just cut to the chase. Get to it.
I don't think the government has... No, I don't think it should be Congress, if that's what you're saying.
Then who does?
I mean, can you imagine all of the 535 of them in one room trying to figure out how much money to charge for, then name one of 3 billion
Dana,
drugs.
I can't imagine them getting in the same room trying to figure out what to name a damn post office anymore.
I agree. It can't be Congress.
Then who does it? The states? The states get to dictate the price of a medication?
I think it makes it easier if you leave it to the states. It's too big, federal. It's too big.
Okay, so the states get to decide what Colorado charges for lisinopril, what Kansas charges for Viagra, what Missouri charges for insulin, and I'm fine with that, if that's what you're saying. What keeps people from state shopping?
I think we should be able to state shop, and I think we should be able to country shop.
Okay.
Open it up to Canada.
Okay.
If I want to buy my medicine in Canada, that's on me.
Dana, I am with you on that. I say let the states decide and make it competitive. You want to lower the price of insulin to $100 a month? And then next door, and I live on the Colorado-Kansas border, and in Kansas, they put the insulin copay at $50 a month. Guess where I'm going to get my insulin?
Fine.
I'm going to Dodge City. I'm going to Liberal. I'm going to get my insulin across the state line. In Colorado, you can suck it.
Fine.
576-7798. Christine in Lawrence. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
One thing you guys are missing on this is you're talking like they're regulating what the drug companies can charge, and that's not what Colorado's doing. They're regulating what the insurance companies can charge their customers.
That's a fair point.
So the insurance companies can only, you know, charge you $100. The drug manufacturers, they can charge the insurance companies whatever they want. So Colorado's being genius with this because they're now pitting the insurers against the drug manufacturers.
But, which is awesome.
But
Christine, the insurance companies do have a bit more power than you and I do as individuals. Would you not agree?
I totally agree. And that's how they're going to get drug manufacturers to start lowering prices. Mm-hmm.
The insurance company's going to say, you know, you can, here, take this. We're going to pay you, you know, $80, and you want $250. Screw you.
But here's what's so frustrating, Christine. They end up writing so much of that off anyway.
Yeah.
So instead of charging $1,700 and then charging you $400 out of that, then they write off the rest of it. Why not just say up front, we're only going to charge $400, period, and you kick us $100?
Because there are people that aren't insured.
Yeah.
And that's where they can dictate what's going to be paid.
I thought everybody was supposed to be insured.
Not
was that wrong?
If you remember, the Republicans got that part stripped out, where it's no longer a mandate.
Not required.
They don't have to pay the fine anymore. So I know a lot of people have no insurance.
But you would agree that's by their choice.
Oh, correct.
Because insurance companies still under Obamacare have to insure you.
Yes, they do. Yep. But you have a lot of small companies that don't offer insurance to their people, and they can't afford it. Or like, I have a neighbor that runs a daycare out of her home. Mm-hmm. She could not afford it. It was cheaper for her to just put the money in savings in case something happened than try and pay for insurance.
Tell me the daycare's insured.
Oh, yeah, of course that has to be.
Oh, okay, all right.
She's state licensed. She just can't afford to take care of herself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Christine, you have a good weekend, all right?
You too.
All right, let's do one more real quick. Tom, can you do it in 30 seconds?
I can try.
Go.
I was going to equate the drug manufacturers renewing the patent to the power weightlifter for the Soviet Union back in the 70s, Vasily Alexeyev.
Okay.
He would win the gold medal, and then he would add a pound and a half to what he was lifting to set a new world record, because he got paid a bonus by the government every time he set a record.
Right on. Hey, good to have you with us, man. The keyword to cash this hour is travel. Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L. Text that into 72881. You're in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. We will do Festivus Friday next. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Get in early. 576-7798. 576-7798. Festivus Friday is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.